I want people to feel confident in who they are. And that's one reason that I show affection towards Kate in public.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want people to feel like I felt when I was younger and just that constant thought about what is this? Why am I doing this? Or I just want to be me. Yeah.
Yep. Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and some weeks I'm joined by my incredible fiancé, Maddie, and other weeks I'm joined by powerhouse queer guests. Now, we love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we're going to be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else, but better. And there's a big emphasis on the better with today's guest. This woman's bio is out of this world. I have to read it. Hang on. Ali Brigginshaw, all-star NRLW player, captain of the Brisbane Broncos, who you've now captained to 3 premierships while being an integral part of the Broncos NRLW side since its conception in 2018, captain of the Gillaroos, which is our Australian women's NRL team, and captain of the Maroons again this year too, of course, our women's state of origin, Dally M winner in 2020. You're now an ambassador for Beyond the Broncos program, which is centered around leadership and helping ATSI students across Queensland and Northern New South Wales. And aside from sport, you're an ambassador for LGBTQI domestic violence, as well as a wife and a mum. How'd I go? What a rap sheet. I'm a soccer girl through and through, so apologies in advance. I want you to talk me through your early days in your NRL career.
Yeah, so it was a little bit different for me starting off than it is for young girls today. So I really wanted to play. Dad used to play, my brother used to play, and all I wanted to do was play rugby league. And at the time, Dad was like, no, you're too small. Yeah, I just don't want you playing. And I couldn't really wrap my head around it. So then I said, what can I do that will make you change your mind? And he said, I'll teach you how to tackle for a whole year. And then if you do that, I'll test you in the front yard and then take you over to play. So I used to tackle my brother or every neighbor in the street, and Dad used to come out and watch my technique and all sorts of things just to protect me. And then he took me over to North Ipswich Tigers, where, you know, my dad played, and Alan Langer and Kevin Walters, those guys, big Ipswich community, and started playing there, where I was the only girl for many, many years. You know, the only other girls there were mums taking their sons to play footy. So it was a pretty lonely time in rugby league, but I also had quite a few supporters with, you know, the other boys, and people did support me playing, but there was a lot of people that didn't support me playing. So copped a lot of criticism when it came to playing for rep teams, that I wasn't good enough to be in those teams.
And so what age did you start playing with the boys?
So 10.
10. Yeah. That's the age that you can...
Yeah, so I started playing when I was 10, and then when you're 12, you're not allowed to play anymore. So I knew that time would come. So I only had 2 years in the game.
Yeah.
And then they pretty much tap you on the shoulder and say, see you later, you're not allowed to play rugby league anymore. Good luck with whatever you choose. Maybe you choose touch football or netball or something where you can't get injured.
Wow. And so were there any pathways later after 12, when you were 12, were there any pathways for older girls in the NRL?
So I went away at 12. I went and played touch football and then came back when I was 18. I got a phone call from a guy called Rob Bruff, and he called me and said, do you want to play women's rugby league? And I said, you have to be joking. Like, I've never heard of that. I was told I wasn't allowed to play anymore. Surely there isn't a thing. And went down to training, and I was lucky enough to play in a team full of Australian players, and they'd all been playing for their state and their country for years. And
wow,
the rest is history.
Amazing. That was your kind of introduction back into it. You obviously went and dabbled with a lot of other sports, but never lost your love for it. So started back again when you were 18. What did that pathway kind of look like?
Yeah, so it was very different.
Mm.
There wasn't too many people playing the game, and normally you'd rock up to training, whatever hour that was. Sometimes it was 8 or 9, whenever you could get on the field, and you'd get every cousin, sister, auntie, other mum to come and play, because there wasn't that many people playing the game. So you kind of had to scratch around to find a team. Then we played, there was the state game, which was called the Interstate Challenge. So it wasn't allowed to be called a state of origin. And there was a test team. and no one knew about it. You'd go over to New Zealand, you'd have to fundraise to go over there and play.
So it was all kind of just working it out as you go. Everyone was like, let's see how this goes. We've got these girls that can play, but we don't know where it's going to lead to.
Yeah. But what was sad was there was 18 years before that, that they've actually been playing. Mm. Just no one knew about it. No one spoke about it. Wasn't on any TVs, wasn't on any good stadiums. If anything, it was on the far field where no one even went and watched.
Oh, yeah. And so what changed? How did it kind of progress from there into NRLW and how big it is today?
Probably came down to a lot of players in the game that really wanted it to go further. But there was a lot of male coaches, I guess, or coaches from the NRL that were like, let's take these girls serious. Let's give them a go. They want to play rugby league. They love the game. Why don't we just give them a go? And so we had a guy called Graham Murray, who's sadly not with us anymore. He used to coach the Cowboys in Queensland. And all he wanted to do was coach us.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't care what it looks like. I just want to treat you like footballers. And when he came on board, you know, the training got harder. They actually taught us what to do when playing league. They brought in all these specialized coaches and got us the right uniforms. We actually stayed in hotels instead of staying in like cabins where school kids stay. Yeah. And they just treated us like footballers. So that was 2013.
Yeah.
So ever since then, it's just changed.
Wow. Okay. During that time and I guess those earlier days, did you ever experience any discrimination being a girl? Because you guys were getting bigger and bigger. Obviously, you were training on the bigger fields and you were being treated a lot more like the NRL players.
Yeah, it was kind of like you're ashamed to say what you did. So I remember, you know, you'd go out to dinner and you go to pubs, go and have lunch at cafes, and people would say, what are you up to? And in the back of my mind, I knew what I was doing. I was playing for my country. I was playing rugby league, but I was like, I'm not telling them.
Mm.
They'll just laugh. Or if it was an older guy, he'd be like, girls don't play rugby league. Why are you playing rugby league?
Yeah.
You don't deserve to be on the field. You're going to get hurt and you should be doing this. Why can't you play netball? All these other reasons. So that's one of the biggest challenges, was probably finding the confidence in to say that I played rugby league.
And it's so much easier said than done. I remember Maddie and I were on a flight one time, just a short one, and we had an older lady sitting next to us, and she had again, I am not an AFL or NRL player. She had an AFL badge on, and Maddie was an AFLW player, and she sparked up a conversation. You know, I love AFL. And then they got talking and Maddie said, I actually play for the AFLW league. And she was like, girls shouldn't play AFL. And instantly, after 20 minutes of talking about how great AFL was and the sport and the teams, instantly she just did not talk to us for the rest of the flight. She was like, that's disgusting. Why are you playing that? And then we just felt awkward the rest of the flight. And I was shocked, really.
Yeah.
That the love of the sport can be so different because of who is playing it.
Yeah. So there's so many different angles, I guess, looking at it. But I was recently at the Broncos and I was signing autographs. So we're in a line and some of the male players were next to me. And so it went male, male, me, and one of my other teammates. And the people that skipped past us with their poster were elderly women. Like, they didn't want their poster signed. And I would just get irate about it because I think, you're a female. How many things have you been told not to do?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've wanted to do them, but you've been just told, shut up, sit in the corner, or do what you're meant to do.
But it's not until our generation kind of comes out and we are making that change and saying, well, you know, women don't just sit in a box and go in the corner, and we have careers and we have goals and aspirations and hobbies, and we're actually really good at a lot of these things. And as you are going back to when you said about the confidence to tell someone, you just have to have that confidence to be the change and be like, no, this is what I'm really good at and this is what I love. So why would I dampen that in that sense?
Yeah. It's kind of like the best job in the world. Mm. We have the best job in paving the way for the future.
Yes.
So young girls have that opportunity. So all those horrible conversations I've had, all those interactions where I've left and been upset, these girls won't have that.
So you obviously didn't have anyone to look up to really throughout your early days of wanting to play NRLW.
So I did have one coach. So when I was 10, I had a female rep coach. So for the Ipswich team, I had a female coach. At the time, having a female coach was not heard of.
Mm.
And she coached an all-boys school. And her name was Peter Curtin. And I just remember going, hey, if she can be a part of rugby league, I can have a go-to. So she was one of my biggest supporters in helping me. There was horrible times when I did play when I was younger where if I got injured, no one was allowed to come on the field unless it was a female. So I literally would just have to lay there until we got a female to come out and pick me up off the ground. Like there was all these silly rules. All the boys had to leave the room if I wanted to get changed, put my jersey on.
Oh, my
God. Like there was just all these times where I'm like, oh, my God. There was a program. So, you know, you have your names written in the program. Mine literally had Ali Brigginshaw and in brackets, girl. Just so everyone else that got that program could know that I was a female.
Far out. That is insane. And it really does take sometimes that one person that you can look up to be like, well, they can do it, which means I can do it. And I think you were doing that for so many young girls now, and you probably have felt it across your career now with all the incredible things that you're doing. I want to know how now you're staying on top of your game, how your mental status is doing, discipline. Like obviously you've got so much going on at home, at work, and in your football career. So how do you do it?
So when NRLW came along, it was in 2018. So it's kind of like a change for everything.
Which really isn't that long ago. No.
Yeah. And that came about by just a group of players having a vision board and saying, we want to play in an NRL team. Wow, we want a jersey. Okay. We want to be the Brisbane Broncos. So that kind of started in 2018. So life kind of got crazy from there.
And how many teams started off?
Four.
Okay. Yeah.
Just crazy. We're at 10 now. But yep. Yeah, life kind of got a little bit different. Working at the Broncos, media started to pick up all those sorts of things. Mm. So at the start, I was terrible at juggling everything, trying to train, be an athlete, go to work, be a mum, be a wife. Yeah. It was something that I wasn't great at. And it's probably taken a while. I'm still not always the best at it in organizing myself and staying on top of things. Yeah. So it's just so new, I guess. So that's probably the thing that we're still going to work during the day and then we're training at night. So it's really hard to make the most of your time, I guess, when it comes to trying to be the best athlete. So the way I kind of look at it is I just do what works for me. So if that means I need a full day off with family or I need to go and train, it depends how I feel that week. I think that's the best. If you're happy off the field, then you're going to play good footy on the field.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's probably some things that people don't get right is they spend so much time in the gym and then don't spend time with their family and struggle to juggle both.
Yeah, it's a huge balancing act. And I found moving through into doing this podcast and this business, because for the last 9 years, I've been a full-time paramedic, which I am, but that is kind of a job where you go to and you do your 12, 14 hour shift and you come home and that's it. You have your days off. You don't bring work home with you. But I think with doing everything that you do in the NRLW, the media, through schools and everything, it would be quite difficult to not take it home. And then you've got all those extracurricular things at nighttime or early starts in the day. So I think that's a really good point. Making sure you find that balance, because it can be really easy for it to flood into your home life or for your home life to take over as well and you not put as much time and effort into the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like the guilty feeling of leaving home.
Yes.
Yeah, so like leaving and then knowing that I won't be home for 48 hours, but I actually will be home, but the kids would have gone to school or they would have come home and I've already gone to training. So there's some days where it's like a good 48 hours I've slept in the bed at home, but they haven't seen me. So I'm trying to juggle the guilt and put my footy head on when I go to football is sometimes, something that I'm not great at. But I'm just very competitive also. So when I'm at training, I try and give the best version of myself and the best player that I need to be. But it also, comes days where it's not as easy as it sounds.
Yes, definitely. Talk me through the early days of you discovering your identity and what that looked like for you.
Yeah, it was probably a bit confusing, nerve-wracking. So when we played rugby league, it was kind of like a lesbian sport. Mm. So it was like, you're a lesbian because you play rugby league, and it's kind of like, I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know. I just remember like best friends and maybe thinking of them more than the other friend. Mm. So then I was like, why am I doing that? Like, is it just because they're fun to be around or is there more to it? So yeah. It's probably in a little bit of denial for a little bit, just not knowing.
Did you find like there was a bit more pressure to know if you were gay or if you were straight or what you were kind of doing and what your identity looked like being in that rugby scene?
Yeah, because yeah, you kind of were just like, no, you're a lesbian, you play rugby league. And I was like, I'm not sure what, wow. Like, because I'd, you know, found some boys attractive. So then yeah. I was like, I don't know what that is, whether I just like their company or, but then I started to start relationships with girls, kind of hidden to everyone else. It's kind of like that
as
was my best friend.
Starts, yeah.
Yeah, we're hanging out with our best friend.
That's such an interesting take on it because I found that I was the complete opposite. I gravitated more towards wanting to go to soccer training and wanting to be around all those girls because I went to an all-girls Catholic school and I was the only one that, well, I had a boyfriend at the time, but I was like, I don't think I really like him. I think I'm just doing this because all the other girls are doing it. And I would find myself loving going to soccer training of a nighttime because they were all a little bit older and they were all dating each other or they were really comfortable with their sexuality. They were all gay. And I was like, this is who I want to be around. So that's so interesting that you felt kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to be classed as a lesbian just because I play NRL, where I was like, I am a lesbian. I want to play soccer.
Like, yeah, it was weird. Like, it was all kind of new seeing people be open about being with another girl, whereas yeah. I'd been with a girl in my teens, but it was kind of a secret. So then seeing people hold hands or kiss in public, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. The people that I'd always been around at a younger age, it was definitely a secret. Like, they were in denial. So I was like, I really like you and I kind of want to be confident about it because I'm seeing people at footy be confident about who they're with.
Yeah.
But then the other person was obviously...
Or still trying to figure it out together.
Yeah, trying to figure it out. So yeah. It was like a hard one and it's not something you sat down and spoke about and was like, we'll go public or like,
yeah.
Let's be honest with our families.
Because you have to work that out in yourself because it's a big thing coming out. You have to be like, I've come out to myself and yeah, I think this is who I am. I like girls. I'm a lesbian. But then coming out to everyone else is such a big thing I found because I was like, at the time, I now obviously know it's so different, but at the time I was like, well, this is who I am. Like, as soon as I say I'm a lesbian, I like girls, everyone's like, well, you can't go back from that. Obviously, that's not the case now, but it was such a big thing publicizing it, I think, for internalizing and coming to terms with your own sexuality is different internally than it is finally being like, this is who I am and telling your friends and your family because it makes it more real.
Yeah.
I think.
But now it's definitely different. You know, we're talking 15 years ago.
Yes. So, yeah, very different.
Yeah. Now it's like I want people to feel confident in who they are. And that's one reason that I show affection towards Kate in public.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want people to feel like I felt when I was younger and
yeah.
Just that constant thought about what is this? Why am I doing this? Or I just want to be
normal?
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a moment of coming out or was there any kind of significance around that? How did that look for you?
It was kind of just with mum and dad just saying, you know, they're not my best friend.
Yeah.
And it's more than that. And they were really supportive. But I always laugh because dad used to introduce, like, if we're going out somewhere, and I would take my friend with me. Dad would be like, this is Ali's friend, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not my friend anymore, Dad. It's actually my partner. But
we've spoken yeah, he about just
kept,
this.
He kept like, because he was pretty awkward.
Yeah.
So he just kept along the lines of that was Ali's yeah. friend.
I totally understand that. I have a Catholic Italian dad who was exactly the same. And now I just take it off him and I'm like, I introduce myself to his friends with Maddie and, you know, we've obviously got a kid now and everything, but I do feel for them because they are trying, like my parents were trying, but yeah, you do feel for them in the sense of like, they're still trying to wrap their head around it and it's them also then coming out to their friends and their family and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard. So talk to me about meeting Kate. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so we'd met each other.
Prior?
Prior.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember seeing her just thinking like She's very beautiful, pretty, hot, all of the rest. And I was like, there's no way that I'm going to speak to her when we cross paths. So I literally
avoided.
We were in the
costs.
Room. I was like, I'm not saying hello. She can, if she wants to know who I am or know my name, then she might ask. But there's no way that I'm going to introduce myself. Yeah. And then years passed. I used to deliver to her house. So like I knew who she was, but there was just no way. So I used to be a courier driver and
yep.
She used to always get all these parcels. She loves ordering online. So I remember going, oh, I'm going to her house again. And then.
Did she know you were the courier? Maybe she was ordering the parcels on purpose.
No, maybe eventually she might have known. But I just remember getting the parcel and being like, there's no way. So I used to either throw it at her front door or like just run in and run out and be gone before she could even get to the door. So
standard postie, really.
Yeah.
So just leave it in the mailbox. Sorry, you weren't at home. You have to come collect it.
Yeah. So like I'd known who she was because we're both from Ipswich. But yeah, I was just so intimidated. But originally she just thought I was a bitch.
It's a bit like that, isn't it? Like when you're actually like, well, I like you. I think you're hot. And they just think you're completely standoffish and rude. You're like, no, I'm just really nervous around you.
Yeah. So then like when we situation. Met at the gym, someone was like, oh, that's Ali. She plays for the Broncos or whatever. And Kate was like, did not even have any idea that I played rugby league. Didn't care at all. Yeah. She's like, I don't like have anything to do with rugby league.
Doesn't impress me at all.
Yeah, like Broncos, who Broncos, I don't care. So it was kind of funny how we met and then, yeah, the rest is history.
The rest is history. And there was a proposal a few years ago.
Yeah.
And married now.
Yeah, so I proposed at my 30th and now looking back at that, I proposed at a brewery and Kate doesn't like drinking. So I was like, what a man, we're never ever going to go back there because she doesn't even like drinking. So probably would change that proposal.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have it planned for your 30th at the brewery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I told a couple of people, had organized the ring and that, but yeah, I'm just like, that wasn't very romantic, was it? We're at a brewery. I'm in front of my friends, majority of footballers.
Yeah.
Like
all a little
bit. She doesn't really
pissed.
Care about football. Like she cares about me playing football, but didn't really care about football, alcohol, all sorts. So
hindsight. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could change that, but I'd organise like an engagement party if it went well the next day with family and friends at one of the places in Ipswich. So that was kind of cool.
A little bit more her style.
Yeah, and have the kids there. So the kids weren't at the proposal. Nice. So organised the kids so she had no idea what we were doing the next day. So kind of knocked over the proposal and the engagement party in one weekend. So
perfect.
Yeah.
I feel the same. I do slightly regret my proposal to Maddie. I had planned it all to propose on Hastings Point Headland at sunrise. I'm not a morning person. Well, I didn't used to be. I am now. But fucked if I ever got up to watch a sunrise. And I was like, it's going to be beautiful. We'll get up at 4 o'clock. The sunrise will be lovely. And then we actually were in the middle of house hunting at the time. And so we had an auction on the Friday. I had planned to propose the Saturday morning. We won the auction on Friday. We had been house hunting for so long. So we went out to Eddie's in Cooley and got absolutely sloshed. And we were just so excited. I knew I was proposing the next morning, so I was nervous. We just bought our first home together, so we were excited. And then I said to her, we're still getting up for sunrise tomorrow. We'd had 3 hours sleep. She's like, can we just do sunrise another morning? I'm like, no, it has to be this morning. She's like, I'm so hungover. I don't want to go. And I was like, let's go. It was raining and honestly, it was just a complete disaster. And then I was trying to be all nice and be like, you know, I love you. And she's like, please be quiet. Like, I've got a headache.
Did she not think
so
it was
tired.
Weird you were going to a sunrise?
Well, I had kind of said to her, I'd kind of G'd her up and I was like, I want to be more of a morning person. Okay. The sunrises are so nice. She's such a beach person. She surfs. She loves the mornings. So I was like, I'm really trying to do this for you. Like, let's get up and do sunrises together. She's like, we don't have to do it today. It's okay. Like, it's fine. And anyway, she looked back and she was like, wow, that was a pretty terrible proposal in the scheme of things. So
it's all the memory.
It's all the memory. I want to touch on being queer in sport. Have you, like you are absolutely paving the way for not only young girls in general in sport, which I'm sure you've heard a million times is so incredible, but also those who are going through working out if they are queer, coming out. I know that NRLW is what classes a lesbian sport as, I think, like AFLW and soccer and everything kind of is. But yeah, did you face any discrimination coming out or in that space?
Not really. It's not a lesbian sport anymore. Like, times have changed where sometimes I'm the lonely soul. But yep. I think just the way I went about it was I was very supported by all my teammates. I've never encountered a moment where I'm like, I feel really uncomfortable. But one of the things was we kind of made not fun of it, but we like had fun with it.
Mm.
So we'd have like jokes around if you wore a strappy shirt, you're in the gay club, kind of like.
Yeah, okay.
Just to like lighten the mood around, like if there was ever someone bringing their girlfriend in or whatever, that they just felt like within those teams it was supported because we just make lighthearted fun.
Yeah.
And I actually really like that because sometimes I'm awkward if I'm meeting new people and in teams, but the people who knew me knew that I quite like banter and I like a bit of fun. So we'd have jokes where my name would be Big Gay Al and stuff like that, which like you probably can't say that to people, but I actually felt like it made me feel like me.
Yeah.
And they were just treating me as, Ali. So not everyone would go about it that way, but I just felt like it made people feel comfortable that, hey, Ali's a lesbian, she's got a wife and we're including her with like little banter.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's just normal.
Yeah. It's just
normal. You have a partner, so they have a partner.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what gender.
So it was like a little bit of a different way to go about it. But I remember in 2018 when I kissed Kate after the game.
The viral kiss.
Yeah. So we'd won first time ever champions. Like, what a moment. Best day ever for Brisbane Broncos and the NRLW team. And I walk off the field, kiss Kate. Lots of cameras around, which was kind of new. Just thought they'd be looking for the trophy, but they were like right on my back, just following me around. And went over and I kissed Kate, came in under the stadium. Immediately it was viral. Like, people were coming out, have you seen the pictures? I was like, we just won though. Where's the picture of the team holding the trophy? And it wasn't, it was just
old news.
Yeah. It was Ali bringing your kisses. I think it's a girlfriend or partner.
Yeah. Kate Bailey. Were you out in the public eye before that, really?
Yeah, but like yes and no. Yes and like no, I didn't want it in the paper, didn't want it on media because it took away from what had just happened in rugby league. It was a huge day and I remember feeling like I shouldn't have done that because my teammates think it's about me now. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the team. And then I was just worried about what people were saying about it and the comments were, you could only imagine the comments. And but then on the other hand, I was like, I'm me. I want to be me. So then other girls, other young girls can be like, hey, if I want to go and kiss my partner after the game, I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah. How fucked is the internal battle that you have to go through? That would have been really difficult for you because if you ran up and kissed a guy, I would assume maybe it wouldn't have been as big of a deal.
They wouldn't have even followed me. Yeah. They wouldn't have followed. The cameras were right behind me. Wherever I walked, they walked. And because they obviously knew. And it was like, who can get the picture of that? And sure enough, the picture was there.
I like how you have gone and taken it. I know it probably would have been a lot of back and forward emotions for you in the moment because, as you said, that was such a – it's a one of the biggest – days in history probably for you for NRLW and such an incredible achievement. And so that would have been a really difficult battle, but really nice that you are then now looking at it being like, well, this is me. And I can absolutely guarantee there are so many young girls out there who would look at that and you wouldn't even know, but they would say, well, now I can be confident in myself. And I paving the way from a sport and a career perspective, as well as paving a way for the young lesbians out there who want to be confident in being in the public eye and, you know, kissing their girlfriend because just another person.
Yeah. So we got a lot of like negative comments, but then we got a lot of nice messages
It's really hard to filter out the negative ones through the nice ones. You know, you can get one negative and 20 good ones, and it's really hard to filter out that negative sometimes.
All my teammates were supportive though. So I was just like, this is not what it was meant to be about. This was just me. We talk about our partners sacrificing so much for us to be a part of the season, be a part of footy. So the first thing you want to do is go over and kiss the people that mean the most to you.
Absolutely.
Because they've sacrificed so much and, you know, they have to pick up the slack when we're not there to do everything. So yeah, I was emotional to see Kate. Like, as a pretty cool moment to share with her. Just wasn't expecting it to go where it did.
Yep. And so do you have any advice that you've been given over the years or something that stuck with you for young girls who are looking to go on to their sporting career, whether it be the NRLW or any sport of that, where, you know, we're still behind with what the women are doing and we're getting there with media and airtime and pay and everything. But do you have any advice for the younger girls out there?
Probably just be you, be yourself, but it's not going to be an easy road. So all those things that I talk about that were really tough, and when I was 10, all the people telling me I shouldn't be doing it, go and do something else, the times where I felt like I couldn't be myself, I look back at it now and I just think it's made me resilient to who I am today. So, you know, I might come up with a challenge or an injury and I'm like, I need to overcome that injury. And it's like, that injury is nothing compared to what I've been able to go through. So as much as it is hard to go through those moments, I feel like it makes you stronger as a person. Yeah. And yeah, so I wouldn't ever change my upbringing and what it's been like, because I feel really strong with who I am.
To where you are today.
To where I am today. Yeah. All those moments that it was so hard. Something like an injury can seem so easy to overcome because of what's happened before.
And so what does the future look like for Ali?
I don't know. lots of people ask me and they go, you must be a coach. You must work in media. You must do this. You must keep playing. Like, you're playing well, keep playing. And it's like, I'll know when the time's right. Kate and I have had a discussion around what that looks like, put in a bit of a plan. Sometimes I extend it out a couple of years. Some days I don't. So I don't know what I want to do. I'm passionate about rugby league. I would love to coach. I'm coaching my girls under 12 touch team at the moment and help out with my boys rugby league team. And I just love it. Yeah. I love seeing the kids get better, them learn. The biggest thing for me in life is I wanted to help people be better off the field. You can be a great footy player, you can be a great sports person, but if you're not a good person off the field, I feel like you're going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
So that's what I really try and help my kids with, in making sure they're good people, because yeah, your talent can only get you so far. And that's something I'm passionate about. I don't know what that looks like with mentoring, coaching. Yeah. I don't necessarily love the media. I don't love dressing up, but I love talking footy. So yeah, if it's off camera talking about footy, I'm very passionate about it. I've been around for a while. So yeah, you never know what that might look like. But yeah, I just want to help people be better off the field.
Amazing. And actions speak louder than words. You know, you are doing such incredible things on and off the field. You are absolutely practicing what you preach. So I take my hat off to you and thank you so much for inspiring so many young girls and older girls as well, you know, to be their best versions of themselves, be confident in who they are with their identity and their sexuality, as well as pursuing whatever career or sport, you know, that they're passionate and talented about. So thank you so much for coming on today and having a chat, and thank you so much for everything you're doing.
No worries. It's been awesome. And just remember that your support system can be as big or as small as you want it to be.
Yeah.
I always said I didn't always have the biggest support system that I could tell my secrets to and be there for me, but I think it looks different. So I still have those supporters now. They're the people that I call to if I need anything, need help or having a tough day. So everyone's support system looks different.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
No worries, thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week. So if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.